Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
Well, it's been a huge week in America, and that's putting it mildly. Obviously, the story which everyone is talking about is the shooting or the attempted assassination of former President Trump. So, as you would expect, I have turned to my good friend and source of all things political in the United States. Bruce, welcome back to the show.
Well, good day from the USA. Hi, Simon. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing exceedingly well. It's another beautiful winter day here in New Zealand. I suspect you are melting there in Maryland.
Winter. I forget you guys have winter. You know, we're at just a little above 40 degrees centigrade. So then you throw in some humidity on top of that. So
Well, things have certainly heated up in America. I mean, look, all the talk is about the attempted assassination of President Trump. I mean, take us through your impressions. I mean, when did you find out? What were your initial reactions? Yeah, talk us through it.
Well, it's funny. I was at a movie with my granddaughter, and as we were coming out of the theater, my wife said, "Hey, it sounds like Trump has been shot." And I'm like, "Oh, come on." I had no idea what was happening in real time. It was just, we both looked at each other and said, "What? How do you get a shooter on a roof from 100 yards away? Who is he? What is he?" All the questions. And it turns out it was just a catastrophic failure to protect the president, or just an obvious, where were the Secret Service on an open, unprotected building about 100 yards from where Trump was standing. And that's just not done. He was already kind of on their radar screen about a half hour before this character. We know him now as Thomas Crooks. He's a 20-year-old guy. Are you with me?
I am. I'm listening intently.
Oh, okay. He was about a 20-year-old guy, and Thomas Crooks had been wandering around. He had a scope in his hand and the rifle. Secret Service spotted him, thought he was a threat, kept an eye on him, but still allowed. And then he disappeared, and they still allowed Trump to go to the podium and begin speaking when you've got an unknown threat happening. And that was for like 30 minutes. People were starting to see him on the roof saying, you know, "Shoot her on the roof, shoot her on the roof." And then there it is. It was a miracle, an absolute divine providence that Trump is not dead.
Had he turned his head slightly, he would have been gone. I mean, are the American people furious at the Secret Service? I mean, do they see this as incompetence?
Absolutely. Yes, it was. Her name is Kimberly Cheadle. She's the Secret Service director. There are a lot of questions. She's going before Congress for an investigation next week. It was just so unbelievably negligent that they had then put, they had outsourced the protection to the local and the state for the individual protection. And then naturally, Trump, as a former president, has his ongoing protection. But it just, how do you make that kind of a blunder? Was there intent is a question. Just a crisis of communication was really, really bad.
Came across from some of the footage of
questions and they're angry.
So has it changed the calculation then? No, well, has that changed the calculation for the election. Some people are saying this means that Trump will now romp home because of the sympathy vote and so forth. But I mean, what's your take? Is it still going to be a close race? Has this attempted assassination, though, changed things?
Yes, the world changed. People are starting to kind of go, wow, you know, after the debate debacle, what a week it's been. The debate debacle, and then you've got this Trump as a, and then now there's Republican convention, and he's named his vice president, his vice president nominee, J.D. Vance. So, yeah, there's a tidal wave of Trump going through the United States, and Biden is kind of they've kind of lost confidence. There's no enthusiasm in the campaign. Biden was kind enough to give Trump a call after the shooting, just, you know, gentlemanly call, say how you doing. But no,
I thought that was very gracious.
Yes, it was. I've got to give him credit for that one. But it's now become almost a fait accompli. Unless something happens. who knew there was going to be a shooting? And then with the whole spotlight on the Republicans and the naming of J.D. Vance. Now, there's a character. He's amazing.
Talk us through this guy. I mean, he's young, millennial, used to be against Trump, vocally against Trump. So yeah, tell us who he is first and foremost, and admit, I have to say this, you have to admit you picked wrong. You were a Tim Scott.
Yeah, well, I didn't get first place. I think I got show. Tim Scott, he's still there. He's still a player. Yes, I really had my chips on the table for Tim Scott. But J.D. Vance, he is the American dream. I mean, he is what this country is based on. He wrote a book called The American Elegy, or Hillbilly Elegy. Hillbilly Elegy, which Netflix came up, and they've made a movie out of it. And
yeah, Glenn Close is in
it. Amy Adams. Pardon?
Glenn Close is in it.
What did you say? Yeah, it's Ron Howard directed it. Amy Adams is in it. Glenn Close plays his grandmother, and he goes from absolute dirt poverty. They were just totally poor, with alcoholism and just all those problems. He rose to become a Marine. He served time in Iraq, came back, got the GI Bill, went to college, was accepted at Yale Law School. He's a Yale Law School graduate, super smart. I'm just wicked smart. And now he's only a junior senator. He's only been there 2 years. He's 39 years old. And he's got a wife and kids, and he's the American dream. I mean, it's a heck of a story.
Is part of the reason he was chosen, Bruce, amongst obviously an amazing story and life of service? I always take my hat off to anyone who's served in the military. But is it also that he's the representative of Ohio, and that's a really important swing state? Because I remember you telling me Tim Scott was from, and I've forgotten which state, I'm afraid, was it Carolina? But Trump didn't need votes.
Tim Scott was
or had, yeah.
Yeah, Tim Scott's from South Carolina, and he will have a position somewhere. It's not going to be vice president. Vance, he is from dirt poor Kentucky, and has, you know, as he got older, he's moved to Ohio and is now the junior senator. Ohio is a pretty solid conservative state, but he speaks the talk of the youth, and so he can get to Michigan and Minnesota and Pennsylvania and those states that would really would really, really help on the Trump side. And they're battleground states. So Trump just gave him his walking papers and saying, okay, spend the next 4 months in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and get to Virginia too when you can.
Well, it looks like their campaign has enormous momentum. And I noticed, too, the Supreme Court, another win, if you will, for Trump, have come out and said that most of the charges related to him storing secret or confidential documents can't stand. So Trump's having quite the week, from being shot at, naming a vice presidential candidate, the court decisions. He has enormous momentum.
It's unbelievable. he just has that je ne sais quoi to become the center of the story all the time. Who knew that? How he dodged getting killed is just, it was a miracle. And then you've got the iconic fist in the air as he's, you know, I'm fine, fight, fight, fight. I mean, that looks like something out of Iwo Jima. I mean, he's amazing. And yes, he's had one heck of a good week. SCOTUS, Supreme Court, just, not Supreme Court, it was a judge in Florida, because the case is a Florida case, said the prosecuting attorney, it can't try the case because he's a private citizen. He has not been vetted by the legislative branch of our government. We've got checks and balances. And he was not vetted by the legislative branch, the judicial committee, if you will. So based on that, no deal. Get another attorney and start again. So yes, it went all in Trump's favor. It was the files that were locked in a vault in the Mar-a-Lago. That whole Mar-a-Lago raid and everything that you may remember, that's all gone and disappeared.
And on top of all that, we've had the Republican convention. I assume that's just been, well, I mean, for timing, serendipity, for want of a better word, for the Republicans, they couldn't have got a bigger showcase. And I notice the likes of Nikki Haley, Marco Rubio, and Ron DeSantis, amongst many others. I mean, a lot of these, the three I mentioned, competed against Trump, but they were speaking at the convention. What's this all about?
Unity, unity, unity. They want a show of a solid force of you know, a single voice, if you will. We are here and we are happy and we, you know, come join the party. Yeah. And for me, I don't know, maybe a cocktail party, but just kidding.
You've been to these.
Unity, with Nikki Haley, and these are all, the Republicans have got just the deepest bench I've seen in, decades. Where there were
huge
Democrats.
Huge. Energy. I mean, you've been there. Must be quite the party.
Yes. Well, especially when you got a winning candidate. I was there. Gosh, back in 1988, I was on the podium when Daddy Bush, George Bush Sr., accepted the nomination for presidency, which was, you know, that was in New Orleans, a million years ago.
When we're all young.
And now the Democrats. You're going to have the Olympics, which is going to be wall to wall, and then the Democrats. And then they have their show. And so we'll just have to wait and see. Never a dull moment this summer.
Well, before
we didn't get to do this 4 years ago. So COVID stopped it. So this is all kind of new, and it's the shiny new penny. It's the flavor of the month. But yeah, big thing. Shooting, well, vice president, convention, Supreme Court decisions, the media's turning tail and embarrassed.
Well, that's been a big change, as we discussed last week. I've seen in the news a couple of days ago, it was, I think, CNN broke the news of an alleged Iranian plot against Donald Trump. I mean, is that getting much airtime at the moment?
Yes, it is another failure of the Supreme. I mean, of the Secret Service. They, gosh, they are just. They just need to fire everybody and start again. I think it's not going to happen. It was a failure where the Department of Homeland Security and Secret Service, they've confirmed that there was an Iranian plot that they've been keeping an eye on just before President Trump, or former President Trump, was to speak in Pennsylvania. So therefore, they had increased their footprint, if you will, with more Secret Service agents. But it boggles the mind how you could just make such an obvious error to leave a roof unexposed or unprotected, fully exposed, 100 yards from the president, former president of the United States. It's just boggles the mind. The Iranians. Well, I mean, we took out Soleimani, so now I guess they've got a vendetta or something.
Well, there's no shortage of in inverted commas exciting things happening in the States, but also I imagine there's a long way to go before we reach, obviously, Election Day. But Bruce, thank you as always for coming on and chatting with us.
It is an absolute pleasure every week. And yeah, stay tuned. America, we're nuts. But we are 350 million people strong with 350 million opinions. And so, yeah, stay tuned. Thanks, Simon.
Great having you on the show.
Appreciate it.
Gotcha.
Bye-bye.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.